All right, so.
It's doing something normal.
Activation, my definition is.
Yeah, you said physical therapy.
Yeah, so I'm using the physical therapy analogy. So that, well, you know, when if you ever, and I haven't broken anything, but my wife has, it's like that. But when your arm's in a cast, it's in one structure, you know. And the physical therapist needs to actually move your arm back to its normal range of motion, right? If you don't move it, it will stay non like that. So an activation is actually activating the muscles again and actually physically making it, it's forcing to do something that it's not been doing for a long time, right? And so with the Word of God, it's, if you just listen to it a lot, that's really, it almost deceives you because you can hear it and you think you're doing it, but you're really not doing it. So an activation helps you actually do what we just heard about, and that's what we're going to do. So we'll have three activations in this teaching. Make sense? And the good thing about activation, it helps you personalize the message better than just going, what do you mean by that? I don't understand that. And when you do it, you understand it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so I guess intro verses would be like, Romans 8:5 says, for those who, according to the flesh, are controlled by... Da, da, da. But those, if you set your minds on and seek the things which gratify the Spirit, this is the goal of those who are wanting to walk in spiritual things. You can actually set your thoughts on, I want to do spiritual things and not just normal things or earthly things or stupid things or sexual things. It's your option, right? But it's just a choice. It's not like you got to go do it, you just go... I'd rather do this one. You know, that's setting your intent on there. Right? Colossians 3:1-3 says, if you have been raised with Christ in new life, so everyone who's a believer, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So if this is you, and then you need to realize you're sharing his resurrection from the dead. What? And I can aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Now what happens is a lot of people, we go to church, we watch a good movie, and then we set our mind on spiritual things, but then after the movie's over, we let our mind drift, right? Or we get distracted by someone and we're over here. But the Bible says, set your mind and keep your mind on those things. So that means there's effort required, right? We can't just act like, it's okay, I did the good thing, and therefore we're in a fallen negative world. There's a force called gravity or a force called bad that's pulling at us, right? So we got to be strong enough to resist the pull, right? So when your mind comes down, oh, my bad, and just put your mind back up. Don't feel bad, you know, or feel guilty or go be, why did they do it again? Just go, time, put it back up, okay?
Set your heart.
Heart and your mind, right? All right, so this I'm going to read these 12 verses out of Luke chapter 6, and then I'm going to teach out of these 12 verses, okay? Okay, Wally, great. Y'all are silly. Yeah. In the quiet teaching again. So Luke 6 says, one Sabbath, while Jesus was passing through the fields of standing grain, it occurred that his disciples picked some of the grain and ate it, rubbing it in their hands. But some of the Pharisees saw this and said, hey, why are you doing what is not permitted to be done on the Sabbath day? And Jesus said, have you never... read about David when he was hungry and what he did with those who were with him. And that references 1 Samuel 21:1-6. How David went into the house of God, took and ate the sacred loaves of the showbread, which is not permitted to be eaten by the priest only, and he gave it to others to eat. And Jesus says, and the Son of Man is also Lord even on the Sabbath. So this is like Jesus is breaking the rules. There's 365 commandments or No, 661 or something commandments, and these guys broke it. On the Sabbath, you're not supposed to work, and working on the rubbing the hands to break the grain open to get the grain, you can't do that. You know, you can't do stuff. Yeah, you can't do less of it. And so you can't do the stuff. And the Pharisees go, "Hey, you're boys. You're supposed to be a rabbi. How come you're letting your guys break the law?" And Jesus says, "Well, David did it. You guys like David? Well, anyway." And then he goes, "By the way, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath." And they're going like, "What in the world does that mean?" He goes on, and on another Sabbath, so a week goes by, you know, Sabbath's on Saturday, a week goes by, and it occurred on another Sabbath that when he went into the synagogue and taught, a man was there with his right hand withered, okay? If you're a deep scholar, you realize there was hands involved with the first story, and there's now a hand involved with this story. So this is the teaching within the teaching within the teaching. So if you're really a digger, you'll go like, "What's with the hand?" Right. So that was a hint for you. The right hand was withered, and the scribes and the Pharisees kept watching Jesus see whether he would actually heal on the Sabbath, in order that they might get some ground for accusation against him. Now Jesus, he was aware all along of their thoughts. Now Jesus is now telekinetic and mind reading, right? Which you guys could do too. Little hint. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here in the midst." So you got the guy with the withered hand who's over there, who's not really supposed to be in the temple, because if you've got a little issue, you're supposed to go someplace else. So Jesus takes him out of the back seat and puts him on the stage. Now the guy with the withered hand is going like, "I don't like crowds. I definitely want to be on the spotlight." So he's kind of, but he obeys. Will you, in your, "I don't know enough, I'm afraid," will you respond to that voice and come center stage? That's a little bonus deal. Well, he does. Jesus says, "Come here, stand in the middle." He arose and stood there. What? He gets a high five. Then Jesus said to him, "I ask you, is it lawful and right on the Sabbath to do good so that someone derives an advantage? Or is it evil to save a life and make a soul safe or destroy it?" So he gives them this wild question, like, and they're going like, Now the guy who is with their hands going like, "Do I talk? Is this, oh, I'm the example. And he's like this, you know." Yeah. And he's nervous because he's actually unclean, right? He's now in front of everybody. This is not right, right? Then he glances around. So Jesus is looking for an answer. He's going to do like, "Are you going to speak?" Nope. Loser, 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 loser. Wally says, "Loser, loser, loser, loser." He may have. You ask him, you tell me later on. Okay. Remember, he's looking. He knows the thoughts of the Sadducees and Pharisees. He also called them a brood of vipers. Brood of vipers in Greek is probably loser.
Yeah, that's true.
Not really. It's a Wally-ism for sure. Anyway. So then he looks around the room, and if you've ever been in the synagogue, they're big. So it's not like, he's looking around the room getting eye contact, right? But he already knows what they're thinking, right? But he's looking anyway. He's giving them a chance to repent. This is goodness of God, right? Which I never saw until just now. I was like, wow, he's giving them a chance. You can turn? Nope. You're going to turn? Nope. Oh, maybe someone did turn, right? They didn't say anything, but he gave them a chance, right? But then he looks around and he says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so. And his hand was fully restored. So this is believe then do. His hand was not healed when God said, when Jesus said, "Stretch it out." Do you believe what he says? Right? We want to go, "I feel warmth," and then I act. We have to respond to what he says. If he says, "I love you," you respond with, "Yes, thank you." Not, "You know, everyone does me wrong." We got to say, "Yes, thank you." When FedEx comes to your door and says, "I have a package," you don't go, "I don't believe you." But we do. Did you? "I love you." I'm not sure. Sign right here. Why? Then we even sign for, we look at it and go, "Hope it's not something bad." You know? But you need to open the gift called Jesus and experience him and not keep Jesus in the box. Okay. This guy believed what Jesus said, actually stretched it out, then his hand was restored. Yeah. Now, the rest of the room, but they were filled with a lack of understanding. They just saw a miracle. Their response was lack of understanding. They chose to not believe instead of believe. And this is a choice we have. They were filled with a lack of understanding. And a senseless rage. And they consulted one another what they might do to Jesus. Now in those days, it occurred that he went up into a mountain to pray. This is Jesus. So he just leaves the synagogue, right? They want to kill him for doing this stuff. And his response is not to talk about it. He's going to go see Dad. What's your response when times get tough? Fight. I'll fight.
Drop the gloves.
Yeah, it's hockey, drop the gloves, right? I was like, I've only seen like two hockey movies. I've seen them a lot, you know. But so now we're going to talk about this a little bit. So in the first section, on the first Sabbath, when they're walking the field, if you choose to follow Jesus like the disciples were doing, you get the bonuses of, if you will walk according to love, there is no law against love. So now the filter they lived by wasn't the 600 plus commandments. It was, I love, therefore all things are possible, right? Love helps you believe. Love drives off fear. Love, love, love. They're walking with love.
Yeah.
If you walk with love, you can do all kinds of stuff, right? If you will follow love, your actions will always be acceptable. Think about that. If you choose love, whatever you do is okay. What? How can that be true? That's what Luke 6, 1 through 5 says. Jesus will defend you if you do what he says.
Come on.
That's what I want. I'm really good at defending myself, but he's great.
Do you think there's like loopholes with that one though? Like people would take him like...
Now, key word is, if you're following him, if you love him. If you're in a relationship, and in relationship you go do something, okay, the condition is love. Right. Now, can I read your heart to see if you love the Lord? No. Right? And so you go do something, you go, Wally, I love Jesus, that's why I'm slapping you. Right? You know, that's a real deal, right? Wally, I'm taking your djembe because Jesus told me. Right? And I'm going like, no, we're going to fight. Yeah. And you're going like, but Jesus told me we're fighting. Okay? This is true. I'm playing drums outdoors with James Nesbitt. Whoever knows James Nesbitt. I'm playing drums with James Nesbitt in a park. There's only five of us. This drunk guy walks up to us and says to me, "Let me play your drum." I'm going to knock him out in Jesus' name. I have my stand right here. He said, "Man, let me play your drum." And I'm like thinking, I'm about to hit you. This is last year. You know, this isn't unsafe. This is last year. You know, it's a year and a half ago. And I'm like, now I don't mind that James Nesbitt, minister, and other people minister, and I'm like, my drum, my toy, mine, drunk guy, I'm going to hit you. Before I can make the wrong decision, James says, hold on, Wally. Now, I don't know if he knew what I was thinking. But he says, hold on, Wally. Let me talk to him. I'm thinking like, you don't talk to drunk people. And this is early morning, yeah. Drunk, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, no, I must deal with this. I'm a flesh to flesh, fist him. He'll walk away. We're good. And we'll go back to worshiping God. Yeah. James starts talking to the drunk guy and says, so my drum's here. The drunk guy's here. James comes here. And guys on the tape, you can't see that. But anyway, so they're close. And I'm like, the guy's reeking, right? And I'm going like, what are you doing? He's not praying. He's talking. He goes, dude, man, you've got a gift. I'm going, he ain't got no gift. He's stinking. He's a drunk sinner, and I'm going to deal with it. You know, I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, right? I'm not agreeing in prayer. I'm like, James, get out of the way. I'll deal with this, right? James says something like, man, you've got a calling and gift. You've got a purpose and a destiny. And I'm thinking, dude, he's drunk. He can't even hear you. Right? But James isn't speaking to his head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know this stuff. I'm going like, dude, I'm a head guy. Dude, he's drunk. You know, he's not listening. And James is going for it. You've got to call in destiny, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I am this close. I'm watching the guy sober up. The smell is going away. And I'm like going, I'm thinking my senses are, I'm freaking out. I'm like, why do I smell again? The guy straightens up. And I'm like going, I'm thinking I'm having an illusion. I'm like going. He's sobering up. And then James goes, Wally, let him play. Now, I'm not sobered up. This is my drum. I don't let regular people play my drum, you know. I got this drunk guy who, something's different, but I'm not different, you know. He goes, Wally, let him play your drum. And I'm like, and then I'm choosing, right, because it's my drum. And I step aside a little bit. This, to me, drunk guy starts playing my drum. Good. I'm freaking out. I'm going like, there was no prayer. We have to pray. He didn't say Jesus' name. I'm thinking like, how is this going on in the daytime, outside, in front of me, and
with a drunk dude?
With a drunk dude who's, he's still drunk. He's got to be drunk because I've never seen this before, right?
He shows love.
And he's playing my drum, you know, and I'm looking at him. I'm going like, I'm staring. I'm going like, and James, they're all drumming. I'm standing there going like,
what? My drum.
And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. He drums, and he goes, thank you, and walks off. Mm. And I'm like, what is this? I don't know what this is, right? This is love bigger than I understand, right? And I'm like, so I'm thinking, my drum's okay, good. I start playing again. But I don't understand what happened, right? And I still don't understand what happened, you know. But it was a weird Saturday morning that day because other things happened too, but not in the story here.
It reminds me of a scripture that says, beware, you can entertain angels.
Yeah, this guy was drunk. Nope, this was not an angel. This was not an angel. He was a stinky, smelly guy that something happened. He drummed really well and walked away. So, if you follow love, your actions will be acceptable.
Yeah.
James followed love. I was about to follow what I know best. If you follow rules, your acceptance is determined by whoever is judging you. If you follow the rules, you now are saying, please judge me. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and our friends and family are really good at judging. But if you follow love, the Father will defend you, or Jesus will defend you. This is a different mindset, right? This is a whole different ball game, right? I'm like, going.
The spirit of religion.
Yeah. So, yeah. Your overcoming lifestyle will be example and a demonstration and demonstrate a blessing to others. So, when Jesus was doing his deal, his followers said, like, oh, he's eating. Or actually, the reference was David. When King David was hungry, he went to the priest and said, hey, we're hungry. What do you got here? The priest goes, all we got, this is 1 Samuel 21. So Jesus references David, right? So the story is, David was hungry, his men were hungry. He goes to the church, the temple, and says, what do you guys got? And he says, well, we got nothing. All we got is what we set aside for God. David goes, well, I'll take that. That's God's lunch, right? If you take my lunch, there's a problem, right? He says, well, I'll take that because he doesn't say we're friends, but because of relationship, he's breaking the law. He's taking God's lunch, you know, and gives God's lunch to himself and other people. And Jesus quotes that as in, it's okay. And I'm going like, this is a different mindset deal, right? And this mindset is available for all of y'all too, right? If you choose to follow love. Love will give you new ideas.
Aww.
Okay? And not the sappy, be nice to everybody. Love will turn over tables too. Oh. But love will give you the right activity to do at the moment. Mm-hmm. Not this a nicey-nicey thing.
True. Preach okay? That. Preach that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hello, pumpkin.
All right. Are we ready for the first activation?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I call the first activation, the guys following Jesus, took the hard kernels off the grain, had to put it in there to rub the break the shell off to get to the seed. Okay? Mm-hmm. Hands, and the Hebrew word is yad, hands represent power and authority. Most of us don't use all our power and authority. Because we don't use our power and authority, we don't get to the word. We don't get to the meat of the word. We don't get to the fruit of what we need to get to. If you exercise authority, you'll crack off that hard shell of tradition, doubt, fear, unbelief, and get to the word. So now we're going to stand up. Okay. We're going to crack open shells, right. So in the Hebrew, again, their hands are reference to the power of a group. Rubbing hands is exercise of dominion. So they're going to start rubbing, you know. And we know faith works by love. Don't rub too fast, you'd be burning. Just kind of. Now, as you're rubbing, I know, as you're rubbing, think about something which is in your way. Okay? It may be unbelief, right? You want more faith. It may be, I don't understand something. Father, I need wisdom. You're cracking away that hardness, right? You're getting to that seed, okay? See that? So I'm going to read the scripture. Luke 8:10. He said to them, to you it's been given to know the secrets and mysteries. So there's a hard shell between you and the secrets and mysteries of God. God says that seed is yours. You're now using your authority to crack open whatever is in your way from that secret which you need to walk in your destiny, in your identity. By faith, you're breaking through, right? You are like that disciple of Jesus, because you are, following Jesus. You need something, and now you're going to get it, because you're exercising your authority. You're cracking through to get to that secret, that information you need to be the son of God, the daughter of God that you're called to be. Rubbing your hands will reveal to you your hidden life. This is what we're doing. We're believing, right? We're partaking with him. Remove the hard shell of tradition. Rub away unbelief so you can see the vision, right? Don't drop your kids. Don't drop me. All right. Have a seat. Activity one done. Right? Now, so you'll never forget that, right? You're like going like, you know, you're like,
washing my hands. Every time I go wash my hands, now
you're like going, freedom! 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 Freedom, freedom, freedom. So,
yeah.
Just think about that.
That's good.
How close is freedom? How close is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is at hand. You can turn into it. Your freedom's that close. But you have to exercise your authority. You got to do something, right? You have to believe, right?
Yes.
How hard is that? Oh, you don't know my life. Well, choose. Okay. The next time, Sabbath, in Luke, Luke 6 through 10, Luke 6 still, this is back to the next Sabbath, the guy got his hand restored, right? So again, hands represent power, right? So this guy had his power kind of, something was stopping him from fully functioning. And Jesus delivered him back to full functioning, right? I'm talking about restoration. And the activity we'll be doing is about restoration. We're going to look at this a little more. Jesus told the guy, you know, come out from where you are and stand in the middle. He said, but he was aware of their thoughts, the crowd. He said to the man with the withered hand, come, stand here in the middle, or in the midst. And the guy arose and stood there. So the guy had to do something, right? And we're going to do that too. So Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise from the depression, the prostration in which your circumstances have kept you. Okay, we blame circumstances all the time, right? And they're real. They're not like figments or imagined. They're real people, real things, real hard stuff, right? Circumstances are real. Now, some people preach like, oh, just mind over matter. No, they're real. You know, you can't avoid them. But this is arise from the hard place which circumstances have put you in, right? It says, which circumstances have kept you in, arise to new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come. Who's our light? The Lord's our light. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We have to respond to that. I don't know what a rise is for you, right? But when you hear a word, whether you're reading it, whether it's in the song, whether it's the message, whether it's an MP3, whether it's someone tells you that word, we have to respond in some format, okay? Figure out what your response is and do that quickly, because if you think about it, you won't do it, right? The moments pass, that door's closed, and you know, and if you got to pull off on the side of the road and just do the, just raise your hand. The first time I raised my hand, I remember it was 1980 or 79. The only reason I raised my hands in this worship time is because there was this older lady who her whole time her hands were up. And I'm thinking like, aren't your arms getting tired? I mean, I work out and I'm like, this was tired for me. So one Sunday night, it was one-on-one competition. I ain't going down and she goes down. I was like, and this lady must have been, I know she wasn't 100, but I was in my 20s, so she must have been like in her 50s, right? And I'm doing this and shaking because, you know, your muscles start doing. Now I'm looking at her and she's like, hallelujah, I love you, Lord. I'm not singing, I'm holding my hands up, competing with her, right? And I lose. And I'm like, I go to one hand. Now, no one knows, well, maybe someone knows what's going on, but I didn't think they did. But I'm doing this, and it's like, you know? And she's like, Father, I adore you. Lay my life before. And I'm like, how does she do this? She's motivated by love.
Yeah.
That's motivated by works.
Love motivates everybody.
You know, and so, hope none of y'all like that, so you're all good, right? Anyway, so arise, don't let the circumstances, your thoughts, your unbelief keep you. When you hear an invitation to something, that's how God speaks. It's always invitations. Hey, give that word. That's an invitation to partake to him to give that prophetic word. Sing that song. It's an invitation for you to enter into something. Give that dollar. Invitation to be a provider like he's a provider. Hug that kid. Invitation to be a conduit of the love of God. Or you go like, what? I don't understand that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Hmm.
Then you are letting circumstances, your thoughts, keep you depressed. Keep you prostrate. Keep you low. You need to if you arise and do what he says, then you're walking in your new life.
Amen.
Right? Okay. 1 John 4:17. In this union, hello, relationship, union and communion with him, love is brought to completion. Wait a minute. Love is brought to completion through relationship, through the union and communion, right? This is 1 John 4:17 through 19. And attains perfection within us. What? If I keep being his friend, his love will be perfect in me? I can learn the love that he loves? Okay, that's good. I'll take that. That we will have confidence for the day of judgment and with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. If you need one verse to meditate on, that's the one. As he is, so are we in this world. That's like, how could that be? Don't figure it out. Just keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. And one day you'll believe it. But if you don't start saying it, you'll never believe it. The first time I read it, I thought, that's a typo. I mean, that's got to be, right? It must be, as he is, after 18 years of working really hard, I might be kind of sort of like him.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't say that, right? It says, love will change you, make you like him.
Wow, that's awesome.
Okay. Let's go on. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out. What? Love kicks fear in the butt? It expels every trace of terror. Every trace? What? Come on, love. For fear brings with it the thought of judgment or punishment. So he who is afraid has not reached full maturity of love. We love him because he first loved us. So just like this guy, we're about to do our activation here. Everyone stand up. So Jesus asked this guy to come forward. I want you to, and don't do it yet, we're going to take a step. We're going to step away from our bad thoughts, and we're going to step into his truth. Okay? So when you stand up, I'm going to want you to take a step forward, so make sure you can, you know, don't crush Gracie, but, you know, be able to take a step forward. So the first activity in our stepping is close your eyes, make sure you have nothing in front of you, and see something, you know, in your mind of, Father, is there something that I just don't believe you for? I want to step past that. And when you get that, take a step. Well, take a step. Or whatever, yeah. And then once you have stepped through that thing, I want you to take a step back, and this time you're going to step into him. Okay. So go ahead and step back. Because the truth is, I am, you are, as he is in the world today. So you want to step again past a thought or a bad thing again? Mm-hmm. This is a question.
Yes.
Okay. So on the count of three, see something that's, you know, you don't believe, some lie, some hurt, some pain, something someone did wrong. You need to step past that and go ahead and do that. Now that you step past that pain, that hurt, that wrong thing, I want you to step back into the truth. The truth is, as Jesus is in the earth right now, so you are. So step back into Jesus. Okay. Now, the scripture says in that same area, we love him because he first loved us. This is a process. If we believe he loves us, then we'll get more love. The more love, then we'll believe love. So you've all walked in place before, right? You know? So once you start walking in place, moving your feet up and down a little bit, not high necessarily, just up and down a little bit, a little aerobic activity going on, you know, not side to side, up and down, you know. And this is to symbolize the process. If we remain in the process of believing his love and stepping in his love, we are becoming more like him with each step. He loved us, I believe that, because I love, one step, because he first loved me. Next step. I love, one step, because he first loved me. Next step. I love because he loves me. I love because he loves me. I love because he loves me. Each step is the process we're walking in. We're walking in love. And one day you'll believe this, and the transformation will occur.
Amen.
And so with each step, you go one step. He loves me. I love him. We love because he loves me. I love because he loves me. You cannot love without knowing he loves you. It is impossible. Okay? So you got to go, we love because he first loved me. He initiated it. So I have to believe I receive and get that love. And so the walking in place is just an activity of this, the process we need to walk in. Have a seat. So we've done three activities. What do you think?
Good.
Good?
Good stuff.
Okay. So, yay. So, again, in Luke, still in Luke chapter 6, it says, in the midst of this miracle of the guy's hand withered, their response was, Luke 6, verse 11, they were filled with a lack of understanding, and that was not good. And when I read that scripture, I was like going, so what does that mean? And the Lord goes, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? And so in Acts 4:31, it says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. And that's part of your daughter's dream. When they had prayed, the place of the receipt was that was shaken, okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom, hello, and boldness and courage, right? So let's get this straight. When they had prayed, okay, they did something, right? The house was shaken, so there was a result of the prayers.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure what that means, but it happened, right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They continued to speak the word, continuing the process, right? Through the word of God. And freedom and boldness and courage. All these are the fruits of walking with the Lord.
Wow.
Right. Acts 13:9. But Saul, who is now called Paul, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, looked steadily at Elimaeus. And again, your options are to be filled with a lack of understanding or to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked earlier about those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when you receive the Holy Spirit and stay filled with Him, freedom is the output of your life, right? And freedom is contagious, right? Amen. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were continually filled throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, whatever that means. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit, right? So there's all these words about don't be filled with stuff, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that speaking in tongues is a way to stay filled. I think we leak. That's the issue, right? And if we're leaky vessels, no one says, I can't believe my car isn't running. And you go, did you ever fill the gas? Well, I did one time.
Right.
You have to continually fill your car because you use it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit because you need that joy because stuff squeezes you.
Amen.
If you get squeezed, stuff comes out.
Yeah.
If it goes out, you need to refill it. You must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If not, something else will fill you.
Yeah.
Doubt, unbelief, fear, depression, sadness, want, worries, cares, want. But if you stay filled with the Holy Spirit, joy, boldness, freedom, courage, He leads you. Is this hard? No, it's not. He gives a simple guidance. Now, I never saw this last night, too, but I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, you know, this is easy, you know, just do what I tell you to do. Well, what about the consequences? Yeah, goodness, kindness, mercy, boldness, freedom, liberty. Oh, those consequences. I like it. Now, will there be people who go, so what are your intents with this joy? Why are you so happy? You have no right to be happy. Well, you're right. I don't have a right, but I am, and you're not. You know, your spirit wears off in 8 hours. Mine doesn't. I told someone on Facebook. I said, "said my familiar spirit will kick your spirit's butt. Your butt, you know, my familiar spirit, Holy Spirit, will kick your familiar spirit's butt." So this activity is praying. Praying in tongues keeps you filled.
Where I struggle like with a lot of, because like it does, you know, it does sound like there is, it's so simple, like for us to not have to like trip up and slip up every day, it would just be being filled with the Spirit all day. But I feel like our flesh, like we desire to please ourselves and do things that we like to do, and it's almost just like, how do you get rid of that like self-centered, like selfishness? The desire is to want, like, for a guy, say, like, go hang out and play some sports, or like, and not think about anything, but, you know, is that wrong? Like, look.
Well, it's like, so.
How do you get rid of that?
So, you and I are both athletes at some level, right?
Right.
Okay, so, do either one of us like to run miles and miles and miles in the heat? There's no desire in any human on the planet who wants to do that. But the desire to be awesome and great. Now, if I'm like, I don't want to go sweaty or get tired or fatigued or do that. So when I was at Oklahoma and I lived in Kansas, it was 110 degrees out in the summertime, right? So, and I'm not a morning person, which it's, if you're going to run, because I have to, you're going to do it in the morning time. But I don't like running in front of people. So the traffic's big, you know. And then the area I worked at, I mean, I lived at, it was on the base. So the running area was around the cemetery. So it was like, no. But then if you run at nighttime, that's when I want to go out with my friends. So this is hard, but I want to be on the number two team in the nation. So you have to force feed or force yourself to do things until it becomes, until your desires change.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, like
just knowing that like, I have to do this.
Yeah. What's the worst mentality? Well, we design ourselves, right? So, like, I have friends that like beer. The first time I drink beer, I'm like, whoa, this is gross, right? Yeah. But if you keep drinking beer, you'll get a taste for it, right? In college, I don't drink coffee today because I didn't drink coffee in college. I drink Mountain Dew. I needed caffeine. I went the cold route versus the hot route, right? And some people are like, well, you can't be a minister without going to Starbucks. Well, I'm sorry. I never acquired a taste for coffee.
Good for you.
Just never did.
Yeah.
I'll go to Starbucks and get hot chocolate. And they're like, I like a venti hot chocolate. And the place goes quiet. They're like, they're looking around and like going, and I'll sit there and they'll be like going, I'm like, hey, I'm good with that. But I never fed the desire for coffee. Right. Whatever in Tomorrowland, whatever you feed will grow. Yeah. You got two wolves.
That's right.
Right. You got two wolves, right? You know.
Right.
You got the dark wolf, you got the light wolf, right? Which one's gonna win? The one you feed.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have a desire, like my pastor's wife in Alabama, she didn't drink alcohol, not because the Bible said so or not. She was afraid that she'd have a desire for it. So she never wanted to grow. Okay? So it wasn't the legal deal. She didn't want to have a desire that was stronger than her. I'm going like, what? Now, I didn't drink, not because of the scripture. I didn't drink because I played football. Now, when I went to college and there were guys who drank, I was like, dude, how can you drink and play ball? You know, but this is me, how I was brought up, right? So as a Christian, if you've got something in you that is, you know, it's not a godly desire, starve it.
There you go.
Okay.
Tell your body what to do.
You tell yourself, it's not your body, food is your body. If you have a desire for, a guy, if I have a desire to see women nude, Wally, do not go to the beach, right? Or if you go to the beach, and you need to memorize Job 31:1. I will not gaze upon a virgin. And when I meditated on that scripture, I was meditating, and this is happening in camp. We go to this water park. That's the weirdest. This has never happened to me since that time. Me and these two guys go to this water camp, and we have been made a covenant with our eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes not to gaze upon a virgin, which is like a nude lady or a scantily clad. So we go. And I had prepared over and over and over and over not to lust after people, right? So we go there, and to my surprise, we find a place, and these three girls come and undress right in front of us. I'm like going like, what? But for the first of my life, I immediately closed my eyes because of the scripture. You know, the Bible says somewhere in Psalm, you know, how can a man keep his way pure? By hiding the word of God in his heart.
That's right.
So if you have a desire that's not, you know, it's not godly, don't feed it. Well, I'm not sure how to not feed it. Father, how do I build another desire and build this one up and then starve this desire? And then he'll tell you.
Amen.
You know, I didn't know Job 31:1 existed until I asked, you know.
Cool. That's
you know.
So cool, yeah.
But I'm saying, we all got stuff,
yeah.
But what do you want to do with it? Do you just... If you just go steady as usual, that thing will grow because we're in a world that feeds negative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you really want to deal with something, Father, I need help dealing with that desire, right? And then he'll give you a strategy. And then depending on how long you've played with that, you know, how long it takes to go away.
Fasting helps, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm a faster. I used to fast. I've done a couple 40-daysers, a couple 20-daysers, right? I used to fast once a week. Fast is a lot of things, right?
Yes.
Now I have friends like, Wally, we're at a time, we don't fast, we feast. Okay, whatever. That's working for you? Great.
Right.
But again, ask the one who loves you the most,
right?
What do I need to do? Don't copy. I was a copier, you know. But it's easy to copy. Now, if you copy and it works for you, okay. You know, and then, you know, whatever. But do what works, right? Don't just go like, man, I ain't changing. I ain't changing. What do I say? I don't know. I didn't get the CD. We didn't get it. It's on the MP3. Oh, yeah. You mean I have to download it? No, I can click on it. Well, that's a lot of work to click on it.
No.
Right? I mean, mine are free. You know? Well, you know, if it's going to work, it should cost $80. Okay, fine. Send me $80 if you wanted to work with you. You know? You know, I mean, what are our excuses? There really aren't any good excuses. You got to do something, right?
Come on, y'all.
Yeah, come on, you know. So the last verse in that scripture set of Hebrews 6, verse 12, Luke 6, verse 12. Now in those days it occurred that he, Jesus, went up into a mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer to God. The first time I heard the teaching about, you know, Jesus going to the mountain to pray, it was at Ian Clayton's deal. And Ian goes, Jesus went up in the mountain. And I go, and Ian goes, there's no mountains in Israel. And I go, well, I've been there. There's some big hills. He goes, yes, Wallace. Is there any Wallace? There are some hills, but no mountains. And I thought, you're right. There aren't any mountains, right? And I can't think of them, what does this mean, right? The Bible says mountains, where are the mountains? So it took me 2 years of me being a king and searching out a matter. And the mountain I found that I think is referring to, because when Satan takes Jesus from the temptations,
yes,
takes him to a high place,
yes,
you know, it's that place.
It's in the heavens.
It's a heavenly,
whoa,
spiritual thing.
Whoa.
And so every time you see Jesus in a mountain, it's not an earthly mountain.
Come on, God. Come on. Let's get it.
Okay. And so, but see, I'd heard that, but then until I found it myself, then I had to believe it,
yeah,
right? And so I'm still having a hard time believing it, but we're invited to a spiritual mountain because that's where Jesus went. So when Jesus got verbally beat up with their lack of understanding and, you know, he does a withered thingy, he heals it, and they all freak out and like, we're trying to kill you. He heard their thoughts. I have a bad time when you look at me bad. Jesus is hearing 40 people plotting how to kill him. That's not very affirming. You know what I mean? You look at me bad, I'm going, what? I'm sorry. Gwen, what can I do? You know? You know? But
telepathy, by the way.
Well, either way, I'm saying that his response was, go to the lover of his soul.
Yes.
What is your response? Mm-hmm. I go, cry. But yeah, but that doesn't help you. This is what helps. He's telling you, when times get tough, you go higher. This is the deal. Okay. Well, I can't find the mountain. This is the answer. Jesus, if you can do it, I can do it. Because what do we step and do? As he is, so are we in the world. If he went to the mountain, up the mountain, so can we. Well, I haven't found it yet. Keep looking and use this scripture. Father, you gave a mountain to Jesus to go up into. We got to talk. And that's why I had to change my vocabulary about prayer. Again, I engage with God because of Matthew 17. He went up into a mountain. It's the same mountain deal. And that's different. He took James, John, and Peter to that mountain. There's no mountain in that area. I've walked that area. There's no mountain there.
Okay. Hallelujah.
And so if there's no mountain there, where do they go? And you see they're going, well, they went.
The secret place.
That's right.
The same thing.
Wait,
that's exactly right. That's right.
In the shadow of the tree.
That's right. I've been to Mount Sinai. It's a hill.
Really?
I slept up top there. I almost fell off, but I slept up top there.
Did you get an encounter?
I didn't know there were encounters were possible at that point.
But there was. Why were you sleeping on the mountain?
Because I like doing adventures. I went to Israel, went down to there. You climb it. See, Mount Sinai is a nice hill that some monk actually cut steps into it. So every couple thousand yards, there's a water thingy. So, but the higher you go, the more the water costs. Yeah, you get to pay for it because these Bedouin guys selling water to tourists like me, right? So you go up there. Now, this is true, but so I get down there. I find my way to Mount Sinai. You take a bus. In St. Catherine's, they built some Catholic group built a monastery at the bottom of Mount Sinai. If you go in the monastery, it's the scariest place because all the bones of all the monks are in the place. A lot of death, right? Whether there's life, there's death. The devil comes. Anyway, don't go in that thingy. So behind the monastery, some monk out of I Love God, penance and works, carve steps up the mountain, right? So you can walk all the way up. It's no climbing. It's so the day I was there, there were these brownies, Girl Scout brownies, right? You know, there were these French brownies from France going up to the mountain, right? Yeah, I know. So I'm Wally Johnson, you know. And these little brownies are racing. I'm like, and they're like,
more brownies.
So I beat them to the top, and I stayed at the top. They went back down. So I spent the night on top of Mount Sinai. There's a little ledge there.
And they let you sleep?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Oh yeah. Because no one goes there. Because it's the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's the middle of the Sinai Desert. I mean, you know.
Dead monks there. I mean, I don't
understand.
Okay, go
ahead. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird place. Okay. So, like, you go to Israel, you go to Masada, right? That's in the middle of, that's of the Dead Sea stuff. In the Sinai Desert, where there's nothing out there. There's hills. Yeah, so I went up there. Anyway, so I did that, spent the night on top, you know, put rocks around me so I wouldn't roll off the ledge. It was a full moon.
Matthew 17 says he went up a high mountain.
Yep. That's what it says.
So that's why I think sometimes for people who are hearing this, supposed to believe? The word of God?
No. That's what the word, that's the written stuff. The word of God comes out of his mouth, right? So you read that, you read it, then when you go to Israel, you don't take off your brain, you go like, where's that high mountain at? Tour guide, show me the high mountain. There is no high mountain. So then you go like, okay, then what's it mean? It means the writer, the New Testament Bible, all the miraculous is not in there. And in the last verse in John, all the things that Jesus did, it would take volumes of books to capture all those things. Okay? So if you did the real deep study, the King Jimmy guys, right, were told, okay, do not give the people something that will empower them to not serve me as king.
Oh, how many people know that? Our daughter Carly knows that.
Okay. And so...
Same handle.
So, King James, 1611 version of the Bible, the guys who did that were not Hebrew scholars, not Greek scholars. They were some smart guys. The king said, do not give them a book that will encourage them, empower them to not submit to me as king.
So okay. They translated it in a way.
So a lot of the Bible is not it's not very miraculous, right? The word baptism is a Greek word, but it's not explained that the immersion, right? There's so I'm not saying, well, are you saying it's in there? No, I'm not playing the game. I'm talking about if you read the Bible without a cultural understanding, you'll miss stuff.
Yes.
If you read a Bible without a geographical understanding, you'll miss stuff. If you read the Bible without understanding who wrote it, you missed it. If you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, you miss stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You miss a lot. Yeah. If you read the Bible only because of what someone told you from the pulpit, which most people do, you miss a whole lot, right? I'm in college telling a guy, dude, I know this stuff. Yes, no. A guy came knocking on the door, four spiritual laws. Yes, no, yes. I knew all the Bible stories from Sunday school, but I didn't know the Word of God. I never asked the Lord to explain it to me. I knew that I'd gone to Sunday school. Knew all the stories. Had never studied.
That's called hearsay.
Right. It's second information.
Or heresy.
It's gossip, right?
Yes, gossip. Oh my gosh.
Right. If your source of the word is what you heard someone say, what if you lived all your life based on what someone else said?
Oh boy.
So you would go like, you wouldn't do that, but Christians do. Right? Here's one for you. We're the only faith that reads the Bible out of another language, not the original language.
Not the original, that's right.
I just heard that, and I thought, like, oh my gosh, that's true. Darn it. You know, I'm with the stupid people, right? And so, I mean, it's just, when you look at it, if you try to relate to a book and not to the living Savior, you're stupid. I've been stupid for 54 years, right? Or 50 years, right? Papa Smurf. If you play with Smurfs, you are stupid. No, I'm sorry. If your name is Papa Smurf, but the point is, I did a teaching on, you know, it's called metacognition, is thinking about thinking. Yes. Do you ever question anything?
That's a really good teaching, you know, by the way. On the podcast.
You don't question yourself, but like
metacognition.
Meta.
It is. Yeah.
Cognition.
This means thinking about thinking.
Thinking about what you're thinking about.
Why do you think the way? Why do you say that it's high mountain because some guy told you, but why don't you find it out?
Right.
It doesn't make a difference. Oh, does it?
Because I'm lazy.
Well, not you personally, but we all are lazy, right? I mean, only a few of us have gone to Israel, right? Only a few of us have studied there. Only a few of us have, you know, does it matter? It only matters if you want to know more, right?
Yeah.
Well, I took a vacation to the Bahamas. Why don't you take a vacation to Israel?
Yes.
Right? I'm just saying, but why not, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're going to spend your money,
spend it where?
What are you seeking first, the kingdom of God and all things added, or are you seeking for stuff?
I used to seek stuff.
You know? So I'm not trying to, you know, be down on anyone.
No,
it's more of a think about this.
Yeah.
If someone says Jesus is black, don't go, no, he's not. Find out what he is. Right? Don't assume that he's the picture in the stained glass windows. There are many black churches. I'm lived in Alabama, so our churches are segregated. Only once a year would the black church come to our church, right? And I thought this was weird. I didn't grow up in a racist deal. I grew up, well, I didn't know color because everyone was white around me. I thought it was normal, you know? And it was really weird. So I go to University of Alabama, Huntsville, and the Lord says, join. Well, on campus, the best food on campus was the Baptist Student Union. And in my background, most of my pastors were Baptists, either Baptists or ex-Baptists, right? So I thought the way the maturity was, become Baptist, then get spirit-filled, then get none, you know. So anyway, so I like Baptists. That's my heritage, right?
Yes.
And so I go to school, University of Alabama, Huntsville, and on Wednesdays was the greatest lunch, the best price at BSU. But I'm going to a spirit-filled church, but the Lord says, they're going on a retreat, go on the retreat. And I go, why should I go on the Baptist retreat when I'm not Baptist? He says, go. Okay. So, I like people, and it's cool, you know, when I go down, it's free and good food, and, you know, and there's girls and stuff like that. So in Huntsville, there are two colleges, two big ones, University of Alabama in Huntsville, and Alabama A&M. Alabama A&M is predominantly black, all black, and University of Alabama Huntsville is predominantly all white. So the BSU, we on the bus, we go over to A&M, we pick up all the black students, you know, other than me. I'm Wally with white people, and we go get the black people, right?
That's a trip.
And so then we go down to someplace in Alabama, somewhere south, and we get out, and it's predominantly mostly white, but it's kind of speckled, but not, it's predominantly white, right? So we hear some silly message, and again, I'm thinking like, I know all this stuff, you know, why am I here, you know, wah, wah, wah. So they get to the deal, and it's maybe 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and you know, I'm a night person, right? So at 11 o'clock, I'm like, all right, let's do something. So we go to our dorm rooms, and I'm thinking, Bible study, my room. So there's like 400 people, right? So I mean, not in my room, but there's, you know. So I open my doors in the patio, and I go, hey, Bible study room, whatever room I'm in. And so in my room is me leading a Bible study, and there's black people and white people in there. Now, to me, this is normal, right? And I wasn't doing a deep study, because I didn't prepare. So it's kind of like, hey, what's your favorite verse? And they tell a verse. And I would kind of teach on that verse a little bit or share what I knew. And it wasn't, this is 1984. So I don't know a lot, but I know a little bit, right? So this is, we're going around the circle. What's your favorite scripture? And there's people sharing scriptures. And we do this for like an hour or two, and it's time to go because. So I'm thinking, well, that was kind of fun. That was worth the trip down here, and it wasn't boring. Yeah, it was kind of fun. I go on the patio. There's a guy on the outside the door, a black guy. He's crying. Now, I'm not moved by tears. Tears like could bother me, right? And then it was like really bothered, right? So I'm going, dude, what's up? You know, he's like, you led the Bible study. Oh, I know. It's not my best time. I didn't prepare. I'm sorry. I'm usually much better. I'm apologizing. He goes, no, you led it. I know. Listen, I just thought it'd be better than nothing. Okay, I didn't pick the people. It was their scriptures. It wasn't mine. And he goes, you led it. Okay, I take responsibility for not the best. And he says, you don't understand. I go, no, but I'm feeling bad that you didn't like my Bible study. It was last minute. It'll be better tomorrow night. I mean, he goes, no. He's wiping away his tears. He says, I've never been in a Bible study where a black person's led it. I don't understand that. I'm going like, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know what that means, right? And he is like, this is freedom for him, right? This is like, oh my gosh, Jesus is Lord, not the white churches are right up. And I'm just going, and he walks away, and I'm standing in the porch going like, what? And I look back, I can see myself there, I'm going like, I still don't comprehend that, right? But we get so fixated on certain things, right? It's based on our upbringing. But will you choose to go beyond what you know? Will you choose to go beyond color, beyond understanding, beyond experience, beyond your education, beyond. You're invited to go beyond. Yes. Will you respond to the invitation? When Jesus says, stand up, or you say, no, I'm good. I like my withered hand. I like being powerless. I'm good, thank you. I've been powerless for a long time. Thank you. Or will you respond? Amen, we're done.